And I present to you Brother Joe Gilmore from San Jose, California.
Now tonight I have been assigned the duty of children to parents. This indeed is a wonderful lesson. We go back to the Old Testament, the fifth command of the Decalogue. Well, immediately we'll recall what the fifth command of the Decalogue was. Found in Exodus the 20th chapter and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This command is repeated, not as one of the Ten Commandments. But this moral part of the law is repeated in Ephesians the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of promise. And then we're told that all may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The fifth command of the Decalogue, Exodus 20 and verse 12, was given as a basis for family living to the children of Israel. Ephesians chapter 6 is given as a basis of living, family living, to the people of our world, to the church. And here then is a great law. I feel today that there has been perhaps more teaching and preaching over the country with reference to the rights of children rather than to the duties of children. In our school systems and in our social works, there is a great thing about the rights of children. And they want us all to understand that children of our day have rights. Well, I'm glad that people talk about the rights of children. I don't want to see children abused anywhere. I would like to see them well fed. I'd like to see them have the right to the Christian father and mother. I'd like to see them have the right to be members of the New Testament church. I'd like to see them have the right to food and health and water and shelter and raiment. I'd like to see them so accepted in every community, so they have great rights. But tonight we're going to talk about the duties of children to their parents. Notice in the passage of Scripture found in the fifth command of the Decalogue, honor thy father and thy mother. The word honor, taken from an old Hebrew word, simply means a load of honor. Now, why should children honor their parents? I would say, number one, the children need to honor their parents because the parents have given them being. I didn't have anything to do with my existence in this earth. In other words, I owe my existence here today to my parents. I didn't ask them to be born. Had nothing to do with that situation whatsoever. But I am glad that my parents gave being to me. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade my parents for any parents in the world. They're both dead. And I love them greatly. They weren't rich. They were not noble. But they were honorable. And I would not trade them for anybody's parents. And I would feel sorry for any young man or young woman who would look up and want to be treated and want to have exchange of parents and accept others in lieu of their loving parents. So that would indeed be a tragedy. So I had nothing to do with my being born. Like the little boy asked his mother, said, Mother, where were you born? She said, San Francisco. He said, Mother, where was Daddy born? Los Angeles. Mother, where was I born? Seattle, Washington. He scratched his head. He said, isn't it amazing that the three of us finally got together? So it scattered around, you see. I had nothing to do with it. It was all up to them, and here I am. Then again, we should honor our parents because they know more than we do. Young people, don't ever think that you know more than your parents know. I'll never forget back on the ranch. My a good rancher. He was smart, ranch-wise, and I wasn't. I'd rather have been in the house reading a book. Dad knew that, but he still had jobs for me to do. And he'd send me out to plow. And he might as well have said, "Son, look at that old brindle cow. And if you want to plow a straight line, you plow to that brindle cow. Well, you know how cows move." Well, he didn't tell me to plow to a brindle cow. But he told me to pick out an object and plow to it. And as I would plow, trying to make a straight line, I'd see a deer. My eyes would see everything. I saw every rabbit out on that 40 acres. You let something move, and I saw it. And then toward the end of the day, my dad would ride up on his horse and go, "Look at those lines." One line of road would go this way and one that way, and it didn't seem like they ever came out the same place. So I learned that my dad was smart. He knew a lot more than I do, and I did. Just imagine a mother 30 years old and a daughter 10. You tell me that daughter knows as much as that 30-year-old mother. Here's a son, 15 years old, and he thinks he knows as much as his 40-year-old father. It just cannot be. And then again, we need to honor our parents because of the great sacrifices they have made for us. I'll never forget when I went to Abilene College as a freshman. I didn't know how I was going to college. I really didn't really appreciate going to college until after I got there and found out how it came to be that I actually got to go to college. My father, I went to college at the worst time financially for him and his entire life. I didn't know it. But he went to the bank and mortgaged his farm that I should go to college. You think I can pay back that kind of sacrifice? And then when I got to college and found out what my father had done, then I moved after two semesters back to Oklahoma, where I could go to Oklahoma University, East Central University, and near the farm, and not have to pay all that tuition, and for my dad to take out another mortgage on his farm. I got a job to support myself when I found out the sacrifice that my father had made. And then when in school, my mother wouldn't let anybody else do my ironing. And she'd make my dad drive some 60 miles or more to get my shirts. And he had to take them all the way back out the ranch, and my mother would wash them and iron them. She didn't think anybody else could wash her son's shirts, keep them up. And probably I didn't have the money really to do it. And think of the sacrifices my mother made for money. But I heard of a young fellow who was a mercenary, very enterprising boy. He loved money and loved to possess it. So one morning, after he'd finished breakfast, he fixed a bill for his mother, what his mother owed him. So he hurriedly wrote out that bill and then put it under his plate and hurried off to school. Said, "Mother, you owe Bradley," that's his name, "you owe Bradley for brushing his teeth, tying his shoes, cleaning his shoes, practicing his music lesson, and Mother, you owe Bradley 75 cents. Well, Mother found that note, and she wrote out a bill for Bradley, and she put it under his plate, and said, "Bradley owes Mother for washing his clothes and ironing, nothing. For cooking his meals, nothing. Seeing that he took baths, nothing. And for loving him, nothing." Don't you know when young Bradley opened that and saw that note, how ashamed he must be? I don't believe there's any boy or girl who'll ever be able to live long enough to pay mother and dad for the sacrifices they have made. That leads me next to how to honor father and mother. "Honor thy father and mother. Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." How do we honor? The word honor simply means a load of honor. Now we receive a load of honor. How may we honor father and mother? Now I want you to notice to begin with that mother is put in the text. And this shows you the law of God is better than any man's law. All through the ages, men have sought to look down upon women. Sometimes in certain cultures, a woman was considered to be 23 degrees lower than a dog. But here I want you to notice the esteem that the Bible places upon women. Honor thy father and thy mother. Mother is put right side beside with father. How do we honor father and mother? We honor them by thoughtfulness. They're older than we are. We'll have to consider, and young people, get this down and mark it down well. You do not own the house you live in. You may think you do, but you don't. I found out quite a few times in my life that I didn't own that house. A few times when I was a member of another church, and mother went over and obeyed the gospel, and I thought I was ruined. My uncle was a preacher of the largest church in America that taught Jew baptism. I'll tell you what that is, that church. So mother would cheat. I went over to bring her back. And she'd invite Joe Blue and C.R. Nickel home for lunch. And then sit down and try to tell me what the Bible says. I had the audacity to tell them to get out. That's not your house. You got no business here. My old Indian dad said, Joe, see you outside. Joe, see you outside. This house no belong to you. It belongs to your parents. And so, you consider that you're living here, you're our son, but you do not own property. Property belongs to parents. So, young people, you need to consider that. And I'm a parent, and I raised the daughter, my wife and I did. And I want to tell you, if anything that galled me in the college years of my daughter was that boom box. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now try to study and memorize Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Just go on. Now try to memorize that with a boom box. Almost humanly impossible to do so. But my daughter was thoughtful. She said, Dad, are you studying? Well, I have to say yes, because I knew I was going to. Yes? She said, Pop, I'll turn it down. Or Pop, I'll use earphones, and I'll hear it than you want. Now that's thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness. So you honor your parents by being thoughtful. Sometimes they may be sick. Their infirmities of age may catch up with them. And they need a little quieter around the house. Or some errand to run. You have young legs and they have old legs. And old legs don't move like young legs. Hence you can be very thoughtful and say, Dad, I'll run that errand for you. So many things can be done if we'd only do them and be thoughtful. After all, we love our parents, want to be good to them, and so let's be thoughtful. Then again, you may share some of the work that mother and father do around the house rather than stay in the house and entertain your friends and pick up that telephone. Most of us who have children in our family, we have to have two or three phones in the house. One so somebody can finally get through and talk to us. Then that other phone that the only Lord knows who they talk to. But it goes every hour that they're home. Well, instead of listening to the phone so much, how about sharing some of the labor? Mother might need dishes to wash. Dad occasionally might need a lawn to be mowed. He may be busy and tired when he gets home. And there is that every growing lawn getting greener and higher all the time. So why not just go home and say, Dad, go in there and rest. Pull your shoes off. Take it easy. Get some iced tea or a coat. I'll mow that lawn. Now how many of you boys in the audience? girls do that? How many girls in the audience want to share the work around the premises of the house and the lot that the house sits on to help mother or help dad? Not only do we honor them by sharing work, but we need to be worthy of them. Most parents have a goal that they want their children to achieve. It may take a lot of time for you to achieve that. You may never achieve it. But you know something? Your mother and dad do not expect you to do something great. They don't expect that. But they do expect you to try to work out and to be worthy of the goal they set for you. Now, you may never reach that goal, but you need to try to be worthy of it. And then again, a duty that you should owe to your father and mother is to appreciate them. To appreciate them. And this, I'm afraid, that many young people in our day have neglected to do. James A. Garfield, President of the United States of America, great statesman, and he is also a gospel preacher. Are you aware of that? He was a minister of the Lord's Church. James A. Garfield, we're told, that when the noise of the inauguration for his presidency, when it subsided and everyone moved away, and the photographers and the reporters backed away, and all the noise had subsided, standing by him was his mother. So in the presence of all, he reached up and hugged his aged mother, and he said, "Mother, I owe it all to you." Thank God. President of the United States of America. Now, how did I get here? Show appreciation. Mother, I owe it all to you. Without her, that would not have been possible. Another honor that we should bestow upon our parents is that of love. Are your parents living? If so, you need to go to them and tell them how much you love them. You need to let them know that they love you and you in turn love them. I like to see young people hug their parents and say, "Mother, I love you. Dad, I love you." My daughter, every time she calls the house, she says, "Mother, may I speak to Dad?" She doesn't have anything to tell me. We don't have anything in common for conversation concerned. And I come to the phone and she says, "Dad, I just want you to know I love you." Oh, listen, that made my day. And then that little granddaughter gets on the phone. She says, "I want to talk to Pop." And you know what? She tells me the same thing. She said, "Pop, I love you." And when I was in the hospital and about to die, and the doctors didn't think I would live, she came in and she held my hand and she said, "Now, Pop, you kick out of this. I need you, and I love you." You know, I thought of that every day in that hospital. "Pop, I need you. I love you." Now, that may not be music to your ears, but I'll tell you, it warms the cockles of my heart. Just to think that somebody loves me enough that every time they talk to me, they say, "I love you." Is your mother living? Her steps may be short, her forehead wrinkled, and it may be that her hair has turned silver. But if you would go and take her in your manly arm and pull her up close to you, say, "Mother, I love you," you know it might cause her to live a lot longer. I know it caused her to be happier. You know, Bell Telephone people, I think they must have had mother in mind. Because there are certain times of the day that you can call all the nation for just a few pennies. So they must have had mother in mind. So if your mother's not here tonight, she may be in some other town. You get those cheap hours when you can call, talk for a few pennies. And you give that phone a ring, and then some little timid voice on that other end say, "Hello." And you say, "Mother, it's me. And I just want to call you tonight and tell you I love you." So Bell Telephone people have done us a great service. And we need to take advantage of it. and go to work and let the people that we love the most actually know that we appreciate them and we love them. And then, of course, not only do we come to think about it in terms of this, but there is conduct. I never wanted to do anything that would bring reproach upon my family. My mother never gave me a licking in her life. Now, my dad was an Indian, and he punished in a way different than white people punish. My dad would say, "Joe, you're going to get licking." When I was a bad boy, when I transgressed Creek law, my dad never went by American law, but Creek Indian law. And when I transgressed Creek Indian law, he would say, "Joe, you get licking 2 weeks from today." Now, he meant that. He didn't whip me like white people whip theirs. So for 2 weeks, I milked my dad's cow, went early to school, milked my grandmother's cow. Anybody else have a cow down that road? I brought in school wood. I was the best boy in Pontotoc County for 2 weeks. Then, 2 weeks, I think Pop would forget it. I've done so much good. Then in 2 weeks, he said, "Joe, time." "Here I come." And he'd always say, "Now, Joe, this is going to hurt me worse than hurt Keith." And I always said, "Pop, it's going to hurt you all that much, let's forget it." I got a licking for being a smart aleck. Then I got the licking that I deserved. But I want to tell you, my mother never laid a hand. All she'd have to do is get a tear in her eyes, and I never could stand a woman's tear. Women don't cry around me. I can't stand that. My mother would just tune up and cry. It wilted me. I'd do anything. I'd fight anything. Climb anything. Swim anywhere. Whatever pleased her for that moment, I would gladly do it. Well, conduct. We're hearing young people today, and they're being taught existentialism. In other words, if it feels right to you, go do it. Just, if you want to do it, think it's right, go out and do it. So existentialism is being taught everywhere today. But I want to tell you young people something. Don't you get a police record. Now, a few years ago, you might have gotten one and got by with it for a while. Oh, but they got these little things today called computers. Computers. You ever seen one of them? Well, once they get your little old name in there and give you a number, you're going to have it as long as you live. Hence, you're going to have a record with the police. And when you get a record with the police, it's going to break that mother's heart. It's going to hurt that father. Then we need to obey. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. The word obey, like the word honor, it just simply means that we have a lot of things to do. So many things. As you lived in the Old Testament, there were 10 laws to keep. You know, several years ago, G.K. Wallace and I got to studying things in the New Testament that we're supposed to do. The Jew had 10 laws to keep. G.K. and I start writing that. One say this and one say that. We'd quote a scripture and we'd make a mark. Then after a while, we counted those marks. And you know what we counted? We counted there are about 300 things in the New Testament that you and I are supposed to do. You realize that? Nearly 300 things that we counted that we have to do. Then children, obey. Oh, there are so many things that you have to obey. To obey your parents. I can't name all of them. I wouldn't even try. But I'm going to name some. But let us look at the passage in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. First, we want to look at the word obey. There are a lot of things we have to do. Second, obey your parents. Now, not the parents next door. but obey your parents. I have seen children that gladly run over and work for the neighbor and won't do anything for the parents. I have seen children confide with others and then not confide with their parents. I've seen a lot of that. Not long ago, I got into something like that. A young lady was pregnant, and she was a teenager. I didn't know her. She heard of me somewhere. Somebody told her about an old big Indian that go talk to people. She called me up and said, "You don't know me." Said, "My father's a chief in the Navy, and he's mean." He said, "I have made a mistake." And said, "I'm going to have a baby, and I'm not going to have an abortion." And said, "Joe, please, please, you don't know me. You've never seen me. But I'll meet you somewhere, wherever you say, and I want you to go home with me. And when I tell my daddy and my physician and what's happened to me." Well, I met her. And she confided in me. I think she should have gone straight to her father, because my life was in danger. I went up and I rang the bell, and she was as far behind me as she could get. She wasn't side by side. She was way back there. And we had the young man hit out about a block down the road, and I was to come out and take my handkerchief out of my pocket and wave it. And then that was a sign to him he could surrender and come in, and everything was all right, and he could talk. Well, that's the way I went in. So the father said to me, he said, "Who are you?" "Uh-oh, well, I'm a gospel preacher." He wanted to know then what kind. Well, I wasn't about to tell him a plum good one. I just said, nice as I could, and polite as I could, we had just as short a conversation as we could get by. Then he said, "There's something wrong here." He said, "A preacher coming home with my daughter." Said, "Did you baptize her?" "No." "Well, you've been studying the Bible?" "No." Now those big old muscles flexing up. "What are you doing here?" I said, "Would you please sit down?" I didn't want him to stand up and look me straight in the eye. And I said, "Yeah, I don't know your daughter, but she's come to me. I'm a minister. And I'm peaceful. And I'd like to see peace in this home, but I have something to tell you. Now, are you sitting down?" And he was. Then I proceeded to tell him the state and the condition of his daughter. You never saw a man about to climb a wall like he did. He started out running, and when he got tired of running, he sat down and he said, "Now let's talk about it." "Well," I told him, "your daughter doesn't want an abortion. Your daughter wants to have a baby. It's hers, and she wants to keep it, and she believes it'd be wrong to take that baby's life. She's still under your roof. She isn't married." And he said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" Well, I said, "I talked to the young man by telephone. I haven't seen him. And he wants to marry your daughter. He wants to do the right thing." And he said, "Well, I'd like to talk to him." And I said, "Well, will he be hurt?" He said, "No, you can stay here and see that he's not hurt." Well, what could I do if he wants to hurt him? But I went out on the porch and I took my handkerchief and I waved it. And here came old Bill just a running. He ran in that door and threw on his brakes and he almost ran over me. "Well, what are we going to do?" And they sat down and they started talking about how they're going to get through that week. Now, not next month, but how they could get through that day. And then we'll work on what we can do this week. Then I suggested that, you know, every month has 4 weeks in it. There's been another month coming up. And the father patted me on the back and said, "Thank you, sir, for coming." He said, "I don't know that I could have taken it, but," he said, "really, I had rather that my daughter had come directly to me and confided in me. Perhaps that's the best. Because let me tell you, when you confide in others, then they go and tell your problem. But when you confide in your parents, they'll never betray that trust. And whatever you confide in them, they will do. So children, obey your parents and the Lord." In the Lord. Now what does this mother? Children, obey your parents and the Lord. Well, in the Lord means according to His will. You should never do anything outside of God's will. Never. take that young woman that danced before Herod, and he liked her dancing and promised her anything that she wanted. And her old wicked mother demanded the head of John the Baptist in a charger. Well, that young woman, Marley, was not bound to live by the law of her mother. What her mother wanted was immoral, and caused the death of one of the great preachers of that day, John the Baptist. So in the Lord means according to the Lord's will. Never do anything outside of the Lord's will. Then, that it may be will with thee. Do you have any idea what that means? How would you go about explaining it? I don't know what some of you other preachers might say about it. It'd be interesting. Kind of wish you had this spot right now. And you could tell me exactly what it would mean to be well with thee. Well, I need inspiration, and I'm not inspired. Then the only one place I can go, and that's to the Bible, God's rule book, and don't tell me it's not a rule book, because it is. Now, how am I going to explain this? Well with thee. I go back to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and verse 20, beginning here. And here's Solomon the wise man, an inspired man. And what does he say? He said, "Son, keep the commandment of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother." And he said about binding it, "Thou shalt bind it continually upon thy heart, and thou shalt tie it about thy neck. And when thou goest, it will lead thee. Then when thou sleepest, it will keep thee. When thou awakest, it will talk with thee. For the commandment is the lamp, and the law is the light." Now, did you get all of that? You keep your father's commandment, the law of your mother, that when you start walking, it'll lead you in the right way. When you go to bed at night, you don't have to think about evil things and all the bad things that you've done. If you've kept the father's commandment, forsaking not the law of your mother, oh, how peaceful you can sleep at night. No one's after you. No one's trying to kill you. The bill collectors are not calling you all hours of the night. And you can just go to sleep. It will keep thee. And when thou awakest, it will talk with thee. And friend, that is true. Then it will be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. The Chinese people, I admire them. They have taken a lot of abuse in the world. But there's one thing about the Chinese people that I like. And that is their love for older people. Their respect for parents. Have you ever noticed how long these Chinese live? I see them around Oakland and San Francisco, and they take very feeble steps, and they're old and old and old and old. But you let them walk and approach young people bow to them. When they go in to eat, they're put at the places of honor. When it comes to talking, who talks first? The young Chinese sit back and let their elders tell them. Oh, how different than I see in the church today. They don't want the elders telling them anything. They've got their own rules, and they know better. The Old Testament said, if you know something, ask the elders. Thy elders will tell thee. Well, today, if you're over 30 years old, young people don't want to hear you. But this isn't always true. I've been asked many times to speak to youth gatherings, and I see that young people are coming back. And they're coming back like the Chinese. In other words, thou mayest live long upon the face of the earth. And Chinese people, they live a long time, and they're good to their parents. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm glad to have this opportunity to speak to young people and older people. If I had time, I'd like to talk more to older people. I didn't get around to that. But if I'm ever back here, I'll preach the second part of this lesson. I preach double barrels. Always have two barrels. I'm a double barrel shooter. When I go to hunt quail, I'm a double barrel shooter. I fire one, fire the other. Well, I've only fired one tonight. Sometime I'll fire the other one.